This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Let's go around the NFL. We're going to play John Lopez's favorite game. Kahale Waring, by the way, back to injured reserve for the Houston Texans. He is not an NFL Hall of Famer and probably not a future NFL Hall of Famer. Is it safe to say?
I think it's relatively safe to say, unless you consider Benny Joppru an NFL Hall of Famer. Second round pick, what was it, 2006?
Two, right?
Two, something like that.
Same year that Witten was drafted.
So okay, that's
say,
right.
I want to say
that's
02 right. or 03.
That's right.
So I think 03,
it was,
03.
I think it was 03. Total bust. Takes it, you know, he understands he was a bust. But second round pick, never got on the field in a regular season game. That is where Kahale Waring is trending as a third round pick, which is still pretty high.
All right, it's time to play the game that John Lopez loves that he doesn't even know.
I don't.
Is he or isn't he? There are 14 first-time eligible players for the NFL Hall of Fame. I'm straight up going to ask you.
Oh, this, yeah, I like this game.
Or isn't he? And we're thinking first ballot here.
Well, it's kind of hard. Let's just say Hall of Fame
okay.
or not.
Okay.
Like wide receivers, there's a line of wide receivers that are.
Peyton Manning.
Yes.
Steven Jackson.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
Calvin Johnson.
Again, there's a long line of wide receivers.
8 years in the NFL, six-time Pro Bowler, four-time All-Pro, member of the All-Decade team, has led the league in receptions, yards, and touchdowns receiving. I think he is, and I think it's important to put guys in who leave the game when they're on top because I think it's an unsafe game. There's longevity, a
Absolutely.
Lot of times you can build your
Absolutely.
Resume.
Yeah.
I think it's important to put someone like Calvin Johnson in. He was by far, like it's been debatable the last few years who the best receiver in the NFL is.
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson was by far.
He had a window.
The best.
Yeah, he had a window there where he was the best. I'm going to say no.
Wow.
I think you stated a very strong case, and I'm not going to be – you know, against it if he gets in the Hall of Fame. But if I'm had to choose will he or won't he, I'm going to say no, or at minimum it's going to take a while.
Five-time Pro Bowl, four-time All-Pro wide receiver, three times led the league in receptions.
Whoever he is, probably yes.
Wes Welker.
Yes.
How's he in but Calvin's not?
I just feel like the Super Bowls matter, man.
He didn't win one.
Oh, that's right. He didn't win one. That's right.
He didn't win one.
How many years did he play?
Wes Welker played from 2004 to 2015, so 11 years. Never, but actually, he didn't even really play the year for the Rams. So 10 years, two less years than Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson made as many All-Pro teams except more first teams. Wes Welker never won. He was in that New England 10-year drought window.
You threw me a curveball there. Now you got me rethinking Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, you should be.
Welker just looks like a Hall of Famer. I mean, just strikes you as a Hall of Famer.
What do you mean he looks like a Hall of Famer? What the hell does that mean?
That's not anything.
He said Wes Welker looks like a Hall of Famer, Figgy.
You know, sneaky
but Calvin
fast.
Johnson doesn't?
Sneaky fast.
Hall of Famer you looking at? A hockey Hall of Fame? What is this, hockey? This is, I'm talking about the football Hall of Fame, not hockey.
Cornhole.
Not golf. I'm not talking about the golf Hall of Fame.
Tailgating. Tailgating Hall of Fame. Frat boy Hall of Fame.
Hey, he was actually a frat hooper.
He's oh,
a
yeah?
Fidel. He's a Fidel.
Yeah.
Roddy White?
No.
Heath Miller?
No.
Logan Mankins.
How long did he play, Logan Mankins? He might
over
be.
A decade.
Yeah, he might be.
Come on.
They like to put big fellas in.
Come on. He is a 7-time Pro Bowler, first team All Pro, 5-time second team. But again,
yeah,
he's in
years.
That Wes Welker. He's yeah. in that Wes Welker
and Calvin Johnson.
No Super Bowl window. Logan Mankins. So maybe
I'm going to say yes.
DeBrickashaw Ferguson.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Craziest white boy in the history of the NFL. Jared Allen.
Yes.
Jared Allen is 12th all-time in sacks, 5-time Pro Bowler, 4-time All-Pro. And I've dug up some audio of Jared Allen just to show how crazy he is. This is him hunting a bull with a spear. And just listen to how crazy this SOB is. So he throws the spear, strikes the bull, buffalo, and then just listen to how high he gets off of his kill.
The bull has no idea that death is perched above. Good shot.
That was awesome. I feel like freaking Geronimo right now. So hopefully it was a good shot. It was a little weird angle. Might have slid off his shoulder, though. I tell you what, these animals are amazing. He's gotten such a distance, even though he's been speared, so, but the blood's picking up. He should be pretty close. Hold on. Yeah, he's dead. He's dead. He's right there.
Spear's still in him.
Oh, it's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
It is freaking awesome. Whew. Oh, I want to swear right now, but I can't. Again, we got a little primitive on it. We went back Native American style with an old spear. This is the only way to hunt. I'm addicted now, hunting with spears. All you bears out there, watch out. You're next.
Yeah, good luck with the bear. Good luck with the bear. I got to tell you, that is hunting to me. Like the guys.
Yeah, it's not cheating. He's using the spear. He's going in the tree. He's following it. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
The guys
that
got
an AK
or a deer blind or have an AK to kill hogs.
He was in a tree.
I understand that.
No, I'm saying that's Mother Nature.
Yeah.
That ain't no man creation. Yeah. He was in a tree with a spear.
But you know how all these guys have these deer feeders like all year long, and then the day you show up, of course the little deer is going to come out there, and that's easy. I mean, I get hunting. I love to hunt myself. I'm just saying that is real hunting right there. You know, Steve McKinney joined us last week and did the little keys to the game for the Chiefs game. He once, hand of God, killed a hog with his bare hands.
Is that hard?
Killed a wild hog with his bare hands.
Is that hard?
Okay, let me see you try it.
What are they going to do?
They have the tusks. They're all gross and big. And
you just got to be behind him.
Wild. He's giving me tips on how to kill a wild hog with your bare hands.
You just have to be behind him.
All right, I want to see you give it a shot. Give it a shot. Go ahead.
Is he or isn't he a Hall of Famer? Justin Tuck. Hell no.
No.
2-time Pro Bowler?
Yeah.
No. 2 Super Bowls. Kevin Williams of the Vikings?
No.
Gerard Mayo with the Patriots.
I need to know more. I don't know a whole lot.
Are the Patriots going to start getting the Steeler treatment where because of the dynasty, they start putting every freaking body in?
Like the 70 Steelers?
Like, the fact that Stallworth was in before Drew Pearson doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But the Steelers won all those Super Bowls. He's a 2-time Pro Bowler. That's what Mayo is. A 2-time Pro Bowler won 1 Super Bowl ring.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't in no...
He's not.
The pride of Copper's Cove, Charles Tillman. I'd say no, but he can talk trash.
Yeah, no.
The final one. This is probably the biggest no-brainer on the list, outside of Peyton Manning. Charles Woodson.
He be in.
Charles Woodson is a 9-time Pro Bowler and an 8-time All-Pro. The most impressive thing about that, you know how many years there was between his first All-Pro selection and his second? Because they moved him to Green Bay.
Oh, that's right.
He went to Green Bay,
right,
and he became a safety late in his career. Do you know how many years there were between his first All-Pro selection to his second?
What was it?
16 years. 16 years between his first All-Pro selection and his second. For a DB.
That's
ain't like
crazy.
A quarterback who turns it on. 16 years.
That's incredible.
Charles Woodson, definitely a Pro Bowler. Other news around the NFL, Michael Thomas, he's going to be out for the New Orleans Saints for a, quote, significant amount of time. Don't know how long that's going to be, but he's going to be out for a significant amount of time.
He's on your fantasy team, right?
Yes.
How's Nick Chubb?
Nick Chubb's fine.
He's good. He's
no, not Nick Chubb. Who was I thinking of?
You probably think Marlon Mack.
Marlon Mack. Yeah. He's on your team.
Yeah. He's rehabbing.
Got any Achilles, right?
Rehabbing. Yeah. It's all good.
You got any healthy guys on your team?
Couple.
Literally?
Need Pat Mahomes to carry the team.
Literally?
Need Pat Mahomes to carry the squad. Allen Robinson, little drama with the Bears. Apparently, he was asking for a trade. Then he wasn't. Everything seems to be cool now. Mohamed Sanu, he signs with the 49ers.
Why not, right? I mean, they can use the help.
He was with Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta, so we'll see what happens. NFL Players of the Week, Week 1. Russell Wilson is the Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC. Ryan Kerrigan, defensive from Washington. Saints punter Thomas Morstead, special teams. AFC, Lamar Jackson, he's coming to town. Hayward, mm-hmm. the son of Ironhead, he's going to be facing the Texans in 2 weeks. And then the Raiders kicker, Daniel Carlson, for the AFC. So in the next 2 weeks, in the next 12 days, the Texans will face the Week 1 Offensive Player of the Week, and then they'll face the Defensive Player of the Week.
Hayward was a man. That Steelers defense, it reminded me of some of their older defenses that were just ridiculous.
Pour one out for Ironhead Hayward, by the way.
Yeah.
Shout out to him. DeAndre Hopkins could have been the NFC Player of the Week on offense, but they gave it to Russell Wilson. Here's Nuke Hopkins yesterday, by the way, talking about his new offensive scheme and what he likes about it.
I think I can have an amazing season in offense like this. It's an offense that gets his playmakers the ball. Ball out quick, great scheme.
I mean, that guy is going to be really, really good all year long. In that offense, getting open the way he does, the way Cliff Kingsbury gets him open, talk about creativity. You tend to forget just how good he is, because I'm used to seeing DeAndre Hopkins toe-tapping for a first down, back of the end zone. Or a 50-50 ball on third down and going out and getting it, turning into a 70-30 ball. But you can't forget how good he is with, after the catch. We all remember the Cowboys game and when he's doing, whatever, XOXO or whatever those things are.
Circle,
yeah. But he's consistently adding yards onto the catch.
Consistently. Yeah. Shout out to Nuke Hopkins. That's Around the NFL here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We're going to hear from a prominent member of the Texans coming up very shortly. But before that, let's talk about the formula to beating the Ravens. Is it there or is it not? We'll cuss and discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
165 yards and 195 yards. Those are the rushing totals for the leading rushers. The last two times that the Ravens have lost a game. They lost to Cleveland Week 4, Chubb with 165 yards, 3 touchdowns, and then we all remember the divisional round against the Baltimore Ravens, or against the Tennessee Titans, where Derrick Henry had 195. Now, they did address that in the offseason. They brought in Church out of LSU, linebacker, highly regarded, kind of slid to them in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And they also brought in Calais Campbell, formerly of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Arizona Cardinals, multi-time All-Pro. So the formula might be there, but it might be a little bit more difficult to do what the last two teams that have beat the Baltimore Ravens have done.
The formula is there, but and more precisely, how are the Texans going to do it? I'm not trying to be sarcastic or anything. I mean, you're talking about Nick Chubb and Derrick Henry. And controlling the ball. And the key thing is not just 165 yards and 195. It's the number of touches that they were able to just pound the ball. I actually, frankly, don't want Deshaun Watson to just turn and hand the ball. I think the key to beating them is for Deshaun Watson obviously occasionally do that, but become the runner himself. Beat Lamar Jackson the way Lamar Jackson plays. You run the running game is often, just considered, the running backs. No, not anymore. You got to be able to run the ball, move the chains as a quarterback. Just don't get killed, like Lamar Jackson does.
I think the problem with that is in order to run the ball, your tight ends have to be able to block. And I'm not sure the Texans' tight ends can block. I like Jordan Akins as a receiver. I think he should play more. I think he should be the number one primary tight end in this on this team. But you saw Darren Fells. He basically got
bushwhacked by the honey badger, basically honey badger in a three-point stance. It was one of the most embarrassing plays of week one in the NFL. He almost pushed in himself by someone who probably weighs about 100 pounds less than him.
He's like 180.
The tight ends are going to have to block if Deshaun's going to run the rock, and I just don't know that these tight ends can block very well.
I mean, I want the tight ends to block. I don't necessarily think it's a must for in order for him to be able to be a good runner.
Pretty damn important.
No, it is. No. Trust me. I know that. We talked about it, how Darren Fells just got worked by the honey badger. But what I'm saying is, like, get him out in space. Let Deshaun, be able to run the ball. Do those, get out there and do those Lamar Jackson things, man. I'm telling you.
Okay. It's easier said than done. He does have a better offensive coordinator. I think he has an offensive coordinator who has a better grasp of what good offense looks like. This is the most discouraging thing that I've heard from Bill O'Brien in 2020. And I'm wiping the slate clean. I want to see what happens on Sunday. But of all the things I've heard from Bill O'Brien, this is probably the most discouraging. And I'm including DeAndre Hopkins being traded, because he explained what he was thinking.
Hold on now. This has got to be big.
He explained what he was thinking. But this is what Bill O'Brien said about the pace of the offense on Thursday against the Kansas City Chiefs. And this, to me, is, if you're a Texans fan, the most troubling thing that you can hear from somebody that is supposed to be an offensive-minded coach and who is in charge of the Texans kind of riding the ship after the loss in Kansas City.
Bill, when you guys were down in the fourth quarter, a lot of time was coming off the clock between plays. Would you like to play faster in a situation like that? You kind of talk about just the tempo of your offense. Does it change from game to game, or do you like it to be consistent?
I thought our pace was pretty good in the fourth quarter. I mean, we're trying to, we got to get the play in and get the play communicated. And, I think we scored a couple touchdowns. really the game last week came down to the end of the half and the beginning of the third. That's where the game, we had a chance to go down there and hit a field goal. We handled that pretty well until the end of the drive at the end of the half. And then they got the ball and they went down and scored and then kicked the field goal. And then they came out and scored touchdown in the first drive of the second half. That's, where those scores can be, you can double up on scores at the end of the half and the beginning of the second half. We've got to just do a better job of that. I thought our pace was pretty good, throughout the game.
That's a problem. I mean, that is a serious problem.
It's inaccurate.
Can I interest you in a stat? And sometimes you don't even need stats. You just need eyes.
Yeah.
Like if you were talking to Ray Charles or Stevie Wonder or something like that, or Helen Keller, then maybe that would make sense what he just said.
What are you doing?
I'm just saying, like, those are the only, if the people trying to watch the game were blind, or Stu, shout out to Stu, then maybe that would make sense. But I'm not Ray Charles. You're not Stevie Wonder, and Figgy's not Helen Keller. You could see that the tempo was bad, and the numbers, courtesy of Football Outsiders, confirm what your eyes tell you. The Texans in week one had the 18th fastest pace when it comes to time between plays run. Keep in mind, they didn't get the ball until they were down 17 points, so you had some making up to do. Mm-hmm. And they were the 18th fastest team in the NFL when it came to pace. 27 seconds between plays was how long it took the Texans to run a play. The average, the league average was 26.97. So you were 17 points down, and your pace was slower than the league average. It was 3 seconds slower than their first half. And I think their first half plays are scripted.
Yeah.
So I think
a little quicker,
the first two series were scripted. 24 seconds in the first half, 27 in the second when you're down 17 seconds. If that pace is okay and you thought that was good, and you can still, in that same press conference, say that the tackling needs to get better and we lost the game in these situations, so you have no problem saying other stuff needs to get better, that's a problem. That's troubling, and I don't want to call it incompetence, but it's something. It's delusional. It's something, because it's not like he's going up there and saying everything's okay.
Yeah.
He has no hesitation to call out Fairbairn for missing a field goal. He has no problem calling out the defense whenever they miss tackles. But he's going to say when the numbers show different and when your eyes show different, that the offensive tempo was fine. That is troubling, John. That is troubling. I hope he's lying.
He said they missed some hot reads, put it on the receivers, But that's also an indictment of his quarterback, the superstar, Deshaun Watson. You just pointed out the numbers. John McClain, in his question before he gave that answer, said, we saw the clock run down and you're trailing by all these points. No, I'm not quoting directly, but basically said, we saw the clock running down. You're trailing by a lot of points. Did you want to go faster? And he said, no, we were fine. We were good. No, you weren't. 18th in the NFL is the bottom half, and you're trailing by 17 points. That's not going to get it done. Everybody likes a quicker tempo. You know, everybody likes a quicker tempo. It's exciting to watch. It's fun to see. Sometimes it keeps the defense on the field, gets things a little more, you know, just crazy. There's a little more energy on the field, et cetera. I don't necessarily need them to be fast all the time. I need them to be fast when they need to be fast, like in the second half there. I want to see Deshaun Watson tuck the ball on some called runs and move the chains. Keep Lamar Jackson off the field. Help your running game, because I don't think this running game has anybody that capable of running for 165 yards, period. They don't. It's David Johnson. Nice job on your 77 yards. He's a good back. He's just not going to be that guy.
Do you ever think we're going to see Deshaun Watson unleashed? I mean, is that really going
We've
to
seen
happen?
It.
I mean, I'm talking like as just far as
a rookie,
100% consistent. This guy's running the rock, designed runs, zone reads, all that. Do you really think we're ever going to see that? We keep asking for
Landry,
it.
Landry, Deshaun Watson.
I get it.
Maybe not quite as fast, but in the neighborhood, can do everything Lamar Jackson does.
Well, Lamar's one of the best runners with the ball.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe not as fast, but he can do everything Lamar Jackson does. You know, in the neighborhood running. Probably a better passer. So it kind of balances out there. And he's not. And he's not doing those things. That's troubling.
I just don't understand the double standard when it comes to evaluating the offense and the defense. I mean, I should understand it. It's an offensive coach. It's a guy who's been with him mm-hmm. for 10 years. But it just seems like this team, they're not coached well enough offensively, and it just doesn't seem like he's watching the same game that we're watching, which is frustrating because they've underachieved offensively with this coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've underachieved.
They have.
When it comes to offense.
It's out there. I mean, they have a schedule that's going to be daunting and going to be very, very difficult to manage. But if you do manage it, everything's out there in front of you. Here's the other thing. We haven't even talked about this. You lose to, you know, obviously Kansas City and then Baltimore and then Pittsburgh. If you lose the first three, which John McClain predicts they will, I wouldn't argue that one bit right now. It's three AFC teams right there that are going to be ahead of you. So not only, you know, hey, it's a long season. We can catch up. You know, maybe this team is going to play better in the second half. You know, whatever. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Kansas City. If you lose those three, where do they play? What conference do they play in? Your road is going to be tough no matter what. Even just to get there, but even if you get there, you're going to have to go to those places. Obviously, who knows about fans, but you're going to have to go to those places.
Beauty of it is a week-to-week league. And maybe Tim Kelly's the smartest guy in the world when it comes to adjustments. In fairness to Tim Kelly, we've never seen him have to adjust, but it would be nice to see the tempo increase.
I found out when you guys found out.
Andrew Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Coming up, the key pieces and the key positions to watch in this matchup on Sunday might not be the ones that you think about. That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Tight ends, running backs. Two positions that are going to decide Sunday's game at NRG. Mark Andrews, third-round pick for the Baltimore Ravens, one of the best in the game. Jordan Akins, another third-round pick in the same draft, by the way. Going to get a lot more time. And then Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins versus David Johnson. And we don't know if Duke Johnson's going to be ready to go. That is going to be what decides this game on Sunday, I think. Outside of the quarterbacks, I feel good about Deshaun going toe-to-toe with Lamar Jackson. But the surroundings and those positions, those two positions on offense, are going to be what decides this game. Let's not talk about the defense. Let's just ignore that for a little bit, for at least a day.
Yeah, you want to do that?
No, let's ignore that for just a day.
Tight ends and running backs. You do the checks, you know, the little check marks on who has the edge. It, I mean, those are decisive edges for the Ravens. And the problem is, I keep going back to the same player when I look at who might just be huge and a backbreaker, if you will, for the Ravens in this game. Because I think we're all going to probably pick the Ravens again. Sorry. I mean, I know that's 2 weeks.
Speak for yourself, buddy.
Okay. All right. We'll see. I just, you know, they're 7-point dogs at home, and I didn't see enough to really encourage me to think that they can beat the Ravens. I'll put it that way. All right?
Hater.
Marquise Brown, man.
Hollywood.
And the reason is because of what you just talked
105
about.
105 yards on Sunday against the Browns.
When you have trouble against the run, what is one of the things you do? You bring an extra guy into the box. Now, I'm not saying the Texans are going to do that. They may not be able to because of Mark Andrews. Oh, yeah. When you have trouble with a, you know, who's supposed to defend and maybe even box, you know, bracket, if you will, the tight end, a safety. I could see where Hollywood Brown gets behind this defense because of the focus they're going to have on the running game, maybe with an extra guy in the box, maybe even another, a safety. And with Mark Andrews, who I think is just a stud. I think he's going to have a huge year, and I think he's right in the same category as Travis Kelce. You're going to have to bracket him or at least bring a safety in to him. What does that do to the middle of the field? Wide open. I mean, if Hollywood Brown, I think he's going to be a huge factor in this game. I really do.
I mean, he's a fast guy. He's put on some pounds.
And he's bigger now.
And he's healthy. Last year he was coming off that Liz Frank injury at Oklahoma, so he's healthy. Texans receivers are going to have to come up big.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be, I mean, of all the things that Bill O'Brien has to be disappointed in, he has to be disappointed in most his receivers. They've got to be better. They've got to be much better for Deshaun Watson. They've got to come up big. And they've got to make him look smart, most importantly. I mean, you gave Randall Cobb $18 million up front, and you traded the second for Brandon Cooks. Those are the guys that are going to have to come up big. This is the thing that is fascinating to me about this matchup between these two teams.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the Baltimore Ravens won the Super Bowl in 2012.
Right.
James Ihedebo, who we have on the show, has a Super Bowl ring because of that Ravens team.
By the way, got to get James on.
The thing that is crazy to me about that is they've basically changed their entire roster. I don't know how many guys actually remain on this team. I don't know if they're... Justin Tucker was on the team.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I don't know how many guys on this Ravens squad. I think very few actually remain from that team that won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And in 7 years, because they won it, the year before O'Brien. But in 7 years, they basically rebuilt an entire roster of young guys that are at least in the talks of being a Super Bowl champion once again, and went 14-2 last year.
Yeah.
Think about it. They got a new quarterback. They got new running backs. They got new receivers. They got a new tight end. They got a new offensive line. They got new guys on defense. And in 7 years, they did have a couple down years. Mm-hmm. I know they had a 9-7 where they missed the playoffs, but they did make the playoffs a couple years
right
in between there. But they basically went through a process of completely revamping their team and completely overhauling it in 7 years. It's impressive.
Well, you want to be a little bit depressed? You just referenced it, but in 2015, that was Bill O'Brien's second season in Houston. 2015, he went 9-7, made the playoffs for the first time. And you're thinking, all right, he's going to build something here. Who knows how far this team can go? I know there was some quarterback issues, but still, okay? 9-7 after a 9-7 first year. 2015, Bill O'Brien was 9-7. 2015, the Baltimore Ravens were completely re-gutting their team, and they were 5-11. Bill O'Brien's second year here, they were 5-11. They have caught up to and passed the Houston Texans in 5 years. I mean, that's a little depressing.
And they've done similar things. They've just made different moves. They traded up for Lamar Jackson at the end of the first round in 2018. Texans traded up for Deshaun Watson in 2017. They drafted tight end in the third round in 2018, that same draft. By the way, how impressive is it that they drafted Mark Andrews, Lamar Jackson, and Orlando Brown Jr. in the first three rounds of the 2018 draft? But they drafted tight ends in 2018. They drafted Mark Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
They've brought in a few veterans. They brought in Mark Ingram. They traded for Marcus Peters. Texans traded for Gary and Conley. The Ravens traded for Marcus Peters. You tell me who's better. it's remarkable the job that they've done in a short time.
It shouldn't take seven
years. Is it fair to compare the Texans to the Ravens because the Ravens are so good at it? Or is that really all we have to compare it to?
No, but that's my point. They're the example, and there's other examples, obviously. It doesn't take 7 years to get good. And we don't even know if the Texans are going to be that, you know, how good they're going to be this year. You can do it quick in the NFL. You always talk about year-to-year league, right? How things can turn so fast. Well, here, you're pretty much the same team with an exceptionally better quarterback as you were in Bill O'Brien's second year when the Ravens were 5-11. It ain't great.
Is this depressing?
Can be.
I mean, is it depressing talking about this? I feel like, and this is what I think loopholes need to understand. I think this is what Texans fans need to understand. In a perfect world, with a schedule laid out a perfect way, this discussion would be different.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be talking. I mean, you would face the Chiefs week one, and then you face the Ravens week 10. But when you pile them up, and you're talking about the Texans, and then you're talking about the Chiefs and Ravens, sometimes it just feels like, Jesus, man, like, is it this bad? You are facing two of the best teams in the league, so you have to take that with a grain of salt.
But the two best,
that's all you have to
AFC.
Compare it to. Like, when the Texans face the Steelers next week, we're not going to be having these same discussions.
Are we? Steelers look awesome. They looked, Mike Meltzer would put some good jelly on it. That guy was awesome.
That guy is awesome. He is an awesome.
You're telling me I'm going to be loving up on the Steelers the more I look at this?
Their defense is ridiculous.
No, their defense is one of the five best in the league.
Ridiculous.
Well, what else?
Big Ben's back.
So what? I don't care if the bathroom Casanova's back.
Well, he is that, and I'm not a big fan of his personal life. But he's back. James Conner's hurt, but then they got Benny Snell. Remember how much I talked up and loved up on Benny Snell when he was at Kentucky? Well, he's bringing it to the NFL now. I love that guy, Kentucky, man. He was really a good back.
They got Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju had two touchdowns. I think he had two touchdowns. Pretty sure he had two touchdowns, yeah.
He did. The secondary, Bill O'Brien said today, is going to be a week-to-week thing. I don't know what that means. Is that good? Is it good to have a week-to-week secondary?
No. No, it's not good. It's not good to have a week-to-week secondary. I mean, that means you don't have a guy. Oh, I meant to tell you earlier. I think Bill O'Brien might have tipped his hand on what he really thinks about the offensive line. We're gonna hear from him about the secondary. But we were talking about the offensive line earlier and yesterday how he said they were good and we knew better, but you know, that they did some good things. I think he kind of tipped his hand. Did you see that you can protect three players on the practice squad, right? You can always protect three players on the practice squad.
Yeah.
All right. So Bill O'Brien protected two that made a lot of sense because, you know, he protected Procise, the running back, right?
Sure.
And then he protected the tight end, I believe, which they need. No, the safety, Simone Biles' boyfriend.
Yeah, him.
Which they need help because he just, that's what reminded me.
Owens.
Because he's, yeah, Jonathan Owens or something like that. So, yeah, it makes sense. You protected a safety because it's a week-to-week thing in the secondary. You protected a running back because Duke Johnson is hurt. You know the third person that he protected? Greg Mantz.
That's because Mantz is good, though. And someone would pick him up.
But it's also because
he started 16 games three years ago.
Yeah. I think it's a tell that he's not as crazy in his heart of hearts. He understands this line is struggling, even though that he put all that equity into the offensive line. He's not going to ever say it, but he's got Greg Manson in his back pocket, just like those other two players that he's got in his back pocket for other weak areas on the team.
You remember when J.J. got pissed because they called his wife, J.J. Watt's wife, gets traded from the...
That is sorry.
The Dash.
That's stupid.
What do you mean?
I would put at least her name.
Well, the headline, obviously, you want to get him on there. It said it in the story. And then J.J. Watt said, this is garbage. She has a name.
Look, she is known
as... You think Simone Biles would defend her boo like that?
Sure, man. Why not? Yeah, maybe not.
Here's Bill O'Brien on the
secondary.
He will
never be as popular as
her. Here's B.O.B. on the secondary.
Yeah, no, we there were some injuries involved there, Brandon. So we felt like that was the best lineup for that week. You know, we feel like we're healthier this week. Don't really want to get into all the specifics there, but, you know, it's obviously, you know, week to week for us, you know, okay.
What?
How do we want to play the Chiefs based on, you know, scheme, but also where these guys
are
health-wise.
Got a week-to-week defense
and then,
now.
You know, how do we want to play the Ravens based on scheme and where these guys are health-wise? Feel like we're healthier. Feel like we're healthier in the secondary. So, you know, just take that for what it means. I'm sure you'll figure that out.
Take that for what it means,
Landry.
Come on, man.
We'll be week-to-week pretty much the whole year when it comes to the secondary.
Remember when he said it was a week-to-week game plan?
Yeah, he said it about
game
the
plan
offense. The thing about the defense is I can understand week-to-week because the offense is the aggressor, and the offense kind of – however they line up and whatever they do, mm-hmm. that's how you play as a defense. So I can actually understand that. Now, as far as guys who are actually going to play, that's a little bit scary. But offensively, I don't think it should be a week-to-week thing. I think you can instill your will on a defense if you're offense. Like, I don't think that the Baltimore Ravens right now, I don't think Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, Hollywood Brown, Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, mm-hmm. Greg Roman are sitting in the film room right now saying, all right, guys. I know we've won 15 of our last 17 games. 15 of our last 18.
Mm-hmm.
But let's put in the tape and try to figure out how we're going to attack the Houston Texans defense.
How are we going to figure this out?
And let's see how we're going to play this week. Now, I know we've been playing the same way for a long time, but let's see how we're going to figure this out and take this week to week. I don't think good offenses say that in the NFL.
I totally agree.
I truly don't. I think they might look at J.J. Watt and say, all right, left tackle, we need to chip him.
Sure.
Ingram, I need you to stay in and block him. But I honestly think, and Bill O'Brien has said this, and the way that they play leads me to believe this. Wade Smith has talked about it. I honestly think while that's going on in Baltimore and they're just going to do what they do and they're going to make the defense adjust to them because the offense has the ball and the aggressor and is the aggressor, I truly feel this way,
mm-hmm.
that Bill O'Brien in the past and Tim Kelly now, we'll see though, because it's going to be Tim Kelly's first. We'll just say Bill O'Brien in the past to be fair to Tim Kelly. I truly think they put in the tape at about 4 a.m. on a Sunday after they play. They look at the defense and they try to act like they have to adjust to everything the defense does instead of just saying, you know what, Deshaun? Let's go out there and let her rip. Let's make them adjust to us. I truly think that that's how they attack things. And I think that's why this offense has never been in the top half under Bill O'Brien and DVOA. I think that's why this offense had pretty much the exact same statistics last year compared in 2019 compared to 2018, despite adding many pieces on that side of the rock. I truly think that they do that, and I don't think they're doing that in Baltimore and Kansas City. I really believe that.
Can I tell you a story?
Yes.
Tell me a story, OG.
One of my very first assignments as an actual professional journalist was in 1985. I just graduated. I was working for the Brian Eagle.
You are old, dude.
I was working for the Brian Eagle. I just graduated from A&M, and they sent me to Norman, Oklahoma to preview a showdown between the Texas Longhorns and the Oklahoma Sooners.
Okay.
I'm sitting in Barry.
This is Barry.
I'm sitting in Barry Switzer's office.
Was he drinking?
I don't know, but he dropped a line. It wasn't just me. It was like six or eight of us. This is when he called me Gomez. Remember all I told you that story?
Was an RC.
It was absolutely an RC.
Good Lord, Barry.
I told you that story in the past. I won't go there now.
Race car!
So Texas was good. I mean, they weren't as good as that Oklahoma team. They won the national championship eventually. But he was being asked, you know, how are you going to stop Rick McIver, whoever it was? You know, it might have been the big, tall, blonde dude. Anyway.
Hager?
No, one of those. But anyway, how are you going to stop this? How are you going to stop that? And Barry just kind of went both his hands on the desk and said, guys, speed, speed, speed. How are they going to stop that? And I'll never forget that. He just went, he slapped the table, said, guys, speed, speed, speed. How are they going to stop that? In other words, he wasn't worried about Longhorns, and that was a good Longhorn squad. He said, how are they going to stop us? We're going to do us. Of course, he had Jamel Holloway and Keith good. Jackson. Made Troy Aikman transfer, for God's sakes. Yep. Troy Aikman was the backup. Brian Bosworth was on the defense. I mean, oh, Spencer Tillman was on that team.
What's up, man?
Yeah. Guys, how are they going to – speed, speed, speed. How are they going to stop that?
Smoking a keyhole is what Spencer said.
Yep. He was smoking a keyhole back then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. At some point, you don't need to respect everyone week to week, especially when you're offense. You're the aggressor.
Mm-hmm.
Defense, sure. I feel like he has a defense. I feel like Bill O'Brien has a defensive mindset when coaching offense.
Mm-hmm.
That's my aha moment that I just had about 4 hours into this show. I feel like he has a defensive mindset when it comes to coaching offense, not an aggressive mindset.
Texas played him pretty well that game. 14-7 Sooners.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Hung in there. Covered. Maybe. Yeah.
Probably. Sure. That OU squad.
Not sure. Maybe.
Who legit. Knows?
Tomorrow's going to be fun. We're going to
hear Stafford. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, there he is. We're going to hear from Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, John Harbaugh, and Bill O'Brien tomorrow. It's going to be stacked. I mean, game week, we're going to be 3 days away from game week. Might try to get Ihedebo on the phone as well. We got to do that at least once this week. Business is picking up, guys. Business is picking up. Two hardest teams, two best teams in the league on the schedule early on, so it's a lot to take in, but it's going to get a little bit smoother afterwards, we think.
We think.
We think.
We'll see.
Thanks to Stanford Routes for joining the show. Thanks to Figgy Fig for being the best in the world at what he do. And thanks very much for the Loopholes for weighing in. If you listen, you are a Loophole. We love you very much. We didn't think we'd make it, but we made it to football season. For the OG John Lopez, I meant Gomez. For Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. Astros post game tonight after the game, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next. If I could be with you, only you
can make it right, yeah. Thank you, Peggy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.